Is it really interesting to see how these companies are approaching Chicago, right?
She was telling me she's really trying to understand how the tech ecosystem here works.
What's interesting about the baby boomers is that they've never met a debt they didn't like.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Welcome to Monday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch in the Skyline Studio, high atop the Chicago River on Wacker Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks very much for tuning in. Thanks as well to John Hansen, who did the bulk of the filling in for me last week. Elise Glink was along as well. Appreciate that. We had a great trip with WGN listeners to Ireland. Really a great crowd. We'll talk more about that later, I'm sure. But thanks for filling in. And we'll talk later in the program as well about do you get your electricity from ComEd, or do you get your electricity delivered by a third party? One in particular leads the way when it comes to complaints. That's one of the things that Amy Guth is talking about on the Daily Gist, her podcast, later this afternoon. We'll get a rundown on that in a bit. Right now in the studio, Catherine Davis is here. She's an associate editor at Chicago Inno and joins us on most Mondays. Catherine, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, so I think, now you tell me, but while I was gone, they decided that there would not be any marijuana dispensaries in downtown Chicago.
That's right. That was a decision coming from Mayor Lori Lightfoot's office. And, you know, the idea here is to get these dispensaries kind of out in the neighborhoods as opposed to downtown.
Well, okay, so was she doing it to help the neighborhoods or to cleanse downtown? Do you know?
I think a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, the idea here is that it'll kind of like simplify the dispensary the geography of the city here.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think, you know, some people are a little confused by the move, right? Because generally we're going to get that tourist traffic downtown where people will be coming to Chicago to go to dispensaries,
so, yeah,
the same way people go to, you know, Denver to smoke weed there. So it's kind of an interesting decision and should have an interesting impact.
I don't know what they expect. And I don't know what the answer is. If the turf around the marijuana dispensaries tends to be seedier, or if it's more ups, I think they equate it to a bottles and cans sort of bar, and I think that you could have a more upscale place than that. I don't know.
Well, you know, Cresco Labs is a dispensary operator here, and they have big plans for the way their retail shops are going to look. And, you know, I know that one of the locations they were looking at was the old Apple Store on Michigan Avenue. So now
right.
They're going to kind of have to, you know, reconfigure where that's going. But I do think, you know, the dispensaries, the big ones that wanted a presence downtown, had big plans for that. So we'll just see how they go doing this forward.
You talked with the folks at Cresco and others about what businesses will be cropping up from here. And I think it was the Cresco guy who said something. He said, you know, the culture in Chicago is really going to change because of this. This is the biggest city to legalize marijuana sales.
Right.
How does he think the culture is going to change?
So, you know, a lot of this was talking about the retail dispensaries and how it'll be normal to see one next to the local CVS or your local grocery store, you know, and kind of just changing the way people get it. Obviously, right now that it'll be legal January 1st, it's not, you know, you're going to the guy that you know on the corner.
Go ahead,
or
we've got all the time in the world. Tell me, where do you go?
Nowhere. You know, but it'll be something that people are buying regularly.
Right. I don't use marijuana. I did when I was younger, but for some reason I'm kind of thinking, and I don't have any intention to take advantage of it now. I just don't care. But I think it's kind of an exciting time we're headed toward. Okay, so you're right about different companies. I want to run down a few of them. The one that really jumped out at me, though, is this company called Green Nile, which is a little deeper in your piece. Explain for me what Green Nile wants to do.
Yeah, so Green Nile, they're a Chicago cannabis tech startup, actually based in 1871. And what they're trying to do is offer on-demand virtual cannabis coaches. So basically, the idea is people can go there and get advice on how to use cannabis products or CBD, you know, for their health, or, you know, to treat pain, to treat anxiety, to treat, you know, a multitude of issues that we know now cannabis can help with, and use it in a way that's safe.
So this is in addition to CBD, which is legal now.
Exactly.
This is where will you be able to buy CBD products with THC
yes,
in them?
You will.
So that's a difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I read about some medical conditions where they say CBD is may be helpful, but if it's got THC in it, it's definitely more effective.
For sure, exactly.
I didn't realize that, so that's something that's going to be purchasable soon.
Yep, as opposed to just kind of the you know, CBD products that are available now, but really
that are run
aren't
a minute. Yeah,
doing
right.
anything.
So when I heard about Green Nile, I just thought of some kid in college teaching you how to use a bong or something, but no, this is much more involved.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know about that one. Canatrack, I think we've talked about them before, but they're talking about buying marijuana via, or paying via a smartphone app, right?
That's right. So they're creating a smartphone app that will allow you to, you know, kind of more safely and transparently buy cannabis products. So, you know, generally now, if you're going to a dispensary because of, you know, federal regulations, credit cards can't be used to buy it because it's considered, you know, federally an illegal substance.
Right.
And that gets dangerous for dispensaries that have a ton of cash on hand, right? That makes them really susceptible to theft and other issues. So Canatrack's trying to fix that.
And so you would pay via, it should be almost like a PayPal sort of thing.
Yeah, I would imagine it more like a Starbucks app, right? So
okay.
you can load money
okay,
onto
right.
the app and then use it at these specific dispensaries on the app.
But Canatrack then still has to get banks to go along with that, right? How are they doing there?
Right. So, you know, they have to kind of have, you know, the back-end banking platform. And they actually had to launch in Colorado as their first market instead of Illinois or Chicago because of, you know, weed not being legal here. So they've had issues getting banks to go along, but they said that once January 1st comes, they expect that to clear up.
Fascinating time, and it's coming here to Chicago pretty soon. Okay, another story that, well, Dahlke wrote this one, I guess, last week, but it has to do with the guy who came up with Bucket Feet, which was a very successful company where people would pound on drums in street corners. No, that's not right. It was a shoe company.
Right.
And now he's talking about hiring. It's a marketing company. It's like a marketer for hire. Explain that for me.
That's right. So Rajan Namani, co-founder of Bucket Feet, he recently launched Marketer Hire. And so basically this is a online platform for finding marketing talent. So if you're a company, like one of their clients is Allbirds, the shoe company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if they're looking for someone or a team to put together a new marketing campaign for them, they can easily go on here and find, you know, freelance marketing professionals within 48 hours.
A lot of times these are good ideas that are very small, and the people coming up with the ideas, whether it's Bucket Feet or Allbirds, don't necessarily know how to market it, and here's a way to find it.
Exactly. You know, and then on the flip side, this also gives people that, you know, are work in marketing but kind of want the freedom of freelancing to have a good way to find gigs quickly.
Okay, so I have a little travel company, and I need help marketing. No, seriously, is this the sort of place I would go and could get sort of a freelance marketer to help me without this major infrastructure expense, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Marketer Hire says that they're vetting, you know, all the people listed on their app and that they should give you good results. So
well,
could be
okay.
worth a try.
A little bit later in the program, we'll talk to Joshua Adams. He's the VP of Operations at NPL Construction. NPL, I didn't know too much about them until I started reading up, but they, as I understand it, are the people putting in or working with People's Gas and other utilities, the gas lines underground, under your sidewalk. But he's part of a diversity conference tomorrow. We'll talk to Joshua about that later today. But right now in the studio, Catherine Davis is here. There is a story that, you know, I remember when Saturn announced it was going to start building plants downstate in Normal. It was a huge deal. Amazon just signed a pretty big deal. It's not a Saturn plant, but it's going to bring car construction, auto construction to Normal.
That's right. So Amazon actually backed this company earlier this year, but the company's called Rivian, and it's based out of Michigan, and they are creating kind of like the Tesla for trucks. And they are opening a manufacturing plant in downstate Normal. And the news last week was that Amazon ordered 100,000 of these electric delivery trucks to kind of replace the trucks they're using now.
So do we know what kind of trucks? Are these semi-trucks? Are they the sort of step vans?
So have you seen those Prime delivery trucks? They're kind of like big vans.
Right, okay.
They're not
yeah.
really like semis
I used to drive,
or anything.
In my earlier days, I drove a Frito truck.
Okay.
And they're kind of like a Frito truck, but a little smaller, right?
Yeah.
And they'll all be 100,000 electric, and they're all going to be built in Normal?
Yeah, they're all going to be manufactured in Normal. And, you know, this is kind of part of Amazon's plan. It revealed a climate pledge last week as well. And part of this is to be fully renewable to use fully renewable energy by 2030 and become carbon neutral by 2040. Kind of as climate change continues to be a major issue, I think this is kind of a big example of a corporate company paying attention and saying we're doing something.
I was going to say it's nice to see when governments don't lead, sometimes companies do. This is the case. They're also going to buy some trees, right?
Well, yes. So they've invested $100 million in reforestation projects around the world. Hopefully that's in the Amazon.
Right, where they've been losing trees. Right. But they're actually going to spend, $100
million? $100
million,
that's
right. Wow, reforesting parts of the area. Okay, so that's Amazon. I think it's a good reason to order something this afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay, one more. You guys did a Inno's Top 25 Under 25, which is, you know, quite an accomplishment to make a list like this at such a young age. I mean, obviously you have to be to make the list, but these are people of accomplishment already. Can I just tell you, Catherine, you check it out at chicagoinno.com, but what strikes me is how we've changed in the business world, because this list, when I was that age, everyone would have been in a suit and tie or a formal dress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I just get a kick out of seeing people in baseball caps and t-shirts representing the best of the 25 and under generation.
I know, times have changed.
Okay, give me a couple of these people. Have we talked about them before?
Yeah, so if you remember, we talked about Ballbox. They're that startup that makes the kiosks that allow you to rent kind of like leisure and sporting equipment.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's one at North Ave. So his name is Alexander Hijazi. He's the founder and CEO of the company. He's a graduate of Michigan State University, and then he moved to Chicago in 2016 to kind of pursue his startup dreams. He initially started out at a different Chicago startup and then left to start Ballbox. So, you know, he was an impressive founder when I interviewed him earlier this year, and I was like, he belongs on this list.
Give me another one.
So another one is Mo Mitchell, the founder and CEO of Mo Mills. So in 2013, when he was actually just a sophomore at a high school in Naperville, he founded an app that is kind of like lawn services on demand. So think, you know, mowing, mulching, trimming, planting, all those kind of lawn services. He's created a platform for you to order that.
I like this. Brent Chase, 25, just made the list, but he's got a brother with autism, and he's come up with a wearable device that will help trigger the word, I think, in the article was meltdown. So not will help trigger, but will help notice when a meltdown is coming so caregivers can be more attentive.
That's right. So Chase's startup is called Gaia Wearables. And basically, it's like a behavioral training tool. It's a wearable device, and it's designed to notify and detect when someone with autism may be in emotional distress.
So I love that idea. So you can rent beachwear at the beach with one company, mm-hmm. and help kids with autism with another. Aside from their sloppy dress, I'm just kidding. Are there things that all of these people share in common, or are there trends that you see from the group?
Well, you know, the interesting thing with this list is that we try to keep it pretty diverse, right? So it's a range of people who've started their own companies. It's also people who just have pretty impressive roles at, you know, kind of the well-known tech companies around town as well.
Catherine Davis writes for Chicago Inno. Check her out, and check out the Inno Minute every morning on the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich. Airs right around 5:25. Thanks for coming by, Catherine.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks very much, Jordan Burns. Jordan, are you still there?
I'm here.
So we're talking about a vegan corned beef sandwich. Is that what you just threatened with us?
I did. So, yeah, this Salmon Gertie's, I believe, would be the first vegan Jewish deli that exists. But I'm actually really interested to try it.
And where are they? We're going to have to, I think we should have them come on. I'd love to hear their story.
Yeah, they're going to be in Uptown. And there's a whole write-up on it on Eater Chicago if you want to check it out. But basically, they're going to try to recreate all the tastes and the, you know, the textures using only vegan products.
I love that. All right, Jordan Burnfield, we'll hear more from you coming up at 1 o'clock. Thanks very much. On the phone line now is Joshua Adams. He's the VP of Operations at NPL Construction. Joshua, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Yeah, and I want to talk about what you're at a breakfast tomorrow, Wintrust breakfast. But first, just give me a little primer on NPL, what it is you do. I kind of didn't know about the company until I started reading up on you.
You know, we hear a lot about that, Steve, and I think as well, obviously, we work in the WGN listening area exclusively in a lot of the neighborhoods and communities, surrounding communities. And what our company is charged with doing is we work with a number of utility providers, such as Nicor Gas, People's Gas, and we're replacing gas mains and infrastructure in communities all throughout the Chicagoland area, into Indiana, Wisconsin, and Illinois as well.
So I kind of figured when I was dodging construction crews along the street in the pits and surrounded by those barricades and things like that, that I was dodging People's Gas workers or Nicor workers. Are you saying they're really NPL workers?
Yeah, a lot of the utilities have outsourced this just because of the large volume of work that needs to get done. Obviously, both of these utilities have investments that need to be replaced. There's a lot of aged infrastructure throughout the country, and they just need a lot of help to get that work done.
Do you have any stories? What's the weirdest thing any of your workers has found underground?
You know, it's still interesting. We're still digging up some wooden gas main from the 1800s. So
really?
we have a section of that hanging in our conference room.
Explain that for me. So it would be natural gas?
Correct. Yeah, natural gas.
And they would. It was a pipeline.
Correct. So in the 1800s, there was the way that pipelines were constructed is they were actually hollowed out wooden posts, and they had joints on them, and the gas would transverse through those wooden pipelines.
Fantastic.
Today, obviously, much better products, steel and polyethylene pipe. That we're actually replacing those and modernizing a lot of the aged infrastructure.
I had no idea. I guess I didn't think much. I guess I didn't know they transported natural gas underground that long ago. Okay, but Joshua, that's not what we're here to talk about. You're at a breakfast tomorrow talking about minority-owned businesses, correct? This is a Wintrust breakfast?
Correct, yeah. So I'm honored to be a panelist on that, and I think one of the reasons that I've been asked to participate in that is because NPL really has a very, very good track record and, concerted effort towards providing diverse firms the opportunity to work in construction.
And so what is it that the benefits obviously are to the minority-owned businesses, gives them a leg up, but I would imagine there's benefits to companies such as NPL as well.
Absolutely, and I think that's the message that I want to convey is, regardless of what industry you're in, for us it happens to be, the utility sector and construction, that there are significant benefits towards having a diversity and inclusion program. Just to give you some perspective, 10 years ago when I joined the organization, we didn't have any sort of diverse program. Today, with concerted effort, with outreach and networking, we have almost 88 firms that can have an opportunity to work for us on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis that are contributing to local economies. And I think really the benefit to that is it's allowed us to focus on our core business. So much of what we do, whether it's through payroll or supplies or purchasing, there's a lot of noise there. And there are diverse firms who can provide that level of expertise that allows us to focus on our core business and do it better, safer, more reliable.
I think I was reading in your biography that you consider your mentorship or your inclusion of minority firms as one of the great accomplishments of your life.
It is. There's something to be said for helping firms who might not otherwise even be given a chance to succeed. And, I'm fortunate that our organization or our company is very successful at what they do, but we've only become better through allowing diverse firms, the opportunity to really shine. And I would say that it takes a lot of effort to do that. We, as you mentioned, mentor, guide, and train a lot of our firms, within our organization. So they're actually in our classrooms, they're in our training programs. We're actually meeting there and helping them, you know, with strategic initiatives for their business. And the real win is that, you know, they're growing their business, we're growing our business, and there's a lot of opportunity that, you know, that contributes back to the local communities in which we work.
Everybody wins in that. Joshua Adams, the VP of Operations at NPL Construction, he'll be at a Wintrust breakfast tomorrow. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. The Gold Coast has seen a lot of change over the years, and the latest that's buzzing through the swanky neighborhood is the addition of a 90-unit condo building at 40 West Oak Street. It'll be built right behind the Newberry Library and will also add an additional 160 parking spaces. This headline brings the conversation back to the real estate market in the city, where there's clearly still room for growth from an investor perspective. And if you're in the right position, you could make some money owning some real estate yourself. Real estate reporter Dennis Rodkin has shared the data on the Wintrust Business Lunch before, showing that Chicago is one of the slowest recovering cities in the country since the real estate bubble back in 2008. So keep your eyes out. But Chicago is also growing to be a hotbed for the cannabis industry, and you can learn about it firsthand. Chicago Inno is hosting a State of the Innovation meetup event on the future of cannabis on Wednesday the 25th, starting at 6 p.m. The event will feature Cresco Labs, Canatrack, Canatopia, and others. These things may seem like a senseless networking event, but these are ripe ground for industries to move forward as colleagues are able to interact with others in their industry. So find out more at AmericanInno.com/Chicago. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Just one more note. You know, I just got back from Ireland on, well, we got back Saturday afternoon, and thanks to everyone who filled in for me last week. I just want to say we have such a great time on these trips, WGN listeners, and Amy Guth is here in the studio. You know, you start with a bus of people who don't know each other, and then you end with it. It's incredible.
You're friends for life at the end of it.
Friends for the friendships that form, and it helps when you're in Ireland for 9 days and it doesn't rain a single moment.
That's pretty good.
Not too bad. So,
I got to go on one of these trips. You have such a good lineup coming up. I'm going.
We're going to go. So in May, we're going to go to San Sebastian.
Oh, I want to go to San Sebastian so bad.
Which is the Basque area a little bit, right? And we'll start in Madrid, go to San Sebastian, Bordeaux, and then Paris.
More Michelin stars per capita than anywhere else.
Okay.
San Sebastian.
In San Sebastian. Okay, so we're walking around, I think, in Ireland, and we see a Michelin-rated restaurant or Michelin, and it's the actual Michelin man.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were connected.
Same guy.
No, really. It's the same company. It's the same. It's the tire company.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I mean, my background's all in the food world, so.
I had no idea it was the same company. Anyway, so that's the next one. We're going to go in May, and we really haven't even formally advertised it yet, and it's going to be filled up pretty quickly. We have about 10 spots left. So
save one for me.
If you want to join us or join Amy, check out the website, SteveBertrandTravel.com or WGNRadio.com, and you'll have a guess, I promise. Okay, so I know I've gotten this call. I didn't know it was from an outfit called Spark, but Spark Energy is in a bit, well, they're in the spotlight anyway, for their marketing practices. Tell me who Spark is and why they're in trouble.
So Spark Energy is a Houston-based energy company. It's a utility, and they've gotten their wrist slapped a few times for their marketing tactics. They've hired telemarketing firms. Some people have even claimed that they have pretended to be ComEd and say, we will give you a better deal by switching to Spark.
Not just anybody, but the Citizens Utility Board.
Correct.
This
yes.
is phenomenal. Tell
yeah.
the story.
This is such an interesting story. So let me find all the details of this because I don't want to miss any of this. But like the executive director of the Citizens Utility Board is talking about like how straight up two examples in which they have called and said like, oh no, we're ComEd. You should switch to Spark.
So they're calling the Citizens Utility Board, which kind of monitors fraud.
Correct.
And they're conducting, certainly inappropriate behavior.
And so they've gotten in trouble for that before. In 2017, they got in trouble for that before.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but so Spark is one of those companies where, you know, you can get your power delivered by ComEd, or you can do it by third party, right? And we went through this whole thing, whether it's more economical to do it by third party, right, whatever. Spark is one of the companies that does that.
That's right. And what they offer is, you know, hey, here's 3 or so months at this unbelievable rate. And then after that, you go month to month. No big deal. But the problem is then people were getting kind of stuck and they didn't know how to get out of it. It was like being auto renewed in this contract,
right,
and the rates would fluctuate so much month to month. Now we have, starting January 1st, Pritzker has signed into law, and it will take effect then, it's going to bar suppliers from doing that. So you can't have that month-to-month charge that fluctuates because people need to plan, right?
So people are complaining about Spark more than they're complaining about anyone else.
This is the headline. So Spark has a 2% market share here, and yet 19% of customer complaints are about Spark, particularly about their marketing practices.
Well, they're punching up.
That's right. They're punching way up. So of the about 1,300 complaints that the state received, I mean, having almost 20% of them about your company.
It's not a good thing.
Not a good thing when you have this, such a tiny bit of market share there.
Much more on that in the Daily Gist podcast, which will drop a little bit later this afternoon.
That's right.
Subscribe. We all know that you should do that. Amy, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much.